This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Thank you very much to JJ for the hits and Ian for jumping in and doing the news. It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community. The longest running international LGBT news and current affairs show in the world. Yes, You get it right here on Joy.
You're listening to it now.
Indeed, and in the studio with me, that's the voice of Ian.
Hi there.
Stefan is here.
Hello.
Hello, Alex.
Bonsoir.
And I am Matt. Now, last week we looked at the Commonwealth, where more than half of its member states still criminalise homosexuality. In fact, there's a large cluster of former British outposts in the Pacific right on Australia's doorstep, and they still retain these colonial-era laws. Tonight, we explore one of our Pacific neighbours, the Cook Islands.
How do you build an LGBTI community when your sparse population is spread across many islands?
Has Australia and New Zealand's passage of marriage equality laws helped or hindered LGBTI rights in the Cook Islands?
And what difference has training in dealing with politicians made to their efforts to decriminalise homosexuality?
Giving us all a huge dose of inspiration tonight, we speak with Tatriana Eden LaCroix from Te Tiara Association, the only LGBTI community group in the Cook Islands, and its overarching vision is to lead our own destinies.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the World Wide Wave.
Saltwater people.
softly by the sea. Now I'm out here west of Alice Springs, with a wife and a family, and my island home, my island home, my island home is waiting for me. Across the plain, I close my eyes and I'm standing in a boat on the sea again. And I'm holding that long tail of spear, and I feel I'm close now to where it must be. Waiting for me, my island home, my island home, my island home is waiting for me, my island home, my island home, my island home, my island home, my island home.
That was My Highland Home for Warrumpi Band, which is an Australian country and Aboriginal rock band from northern, remote Northern Territory.
Loved it.
Yeah.
And that's the original version,
yeah,
that Christina Anu then took. Yeah, because I always think I associate that song with the opening ceremony of the Sydney Olympics,
yes,
which one
of
the great songs. I think it was one of the great highlights of what was a spectacular opening ceremony. Yes.
We are tonight looking, and of course that's an island song because we're out in the Cook Islands tonight, one of Australia's neighbours. We'd love to hear your messages and your thoughts. We've got a great guest tonight. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au is the email address.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
So, as mentioned, we're in the Cook Islands, and Matt said it's one of our neighbours. That is a huge stretch of the term neighbour. if you look on the globe, Cook Islands.
Out the paddock and all the way.
She's all the way. Keep going. Fly for about 6 hours. So Cook Islands are located midway between Fiji and French Polynesia. Really, you couldn't get more centrally located in the South Pacific, in the middle of nowhere. According to the 2016 census, the islands had a population of 18,000.
I thought it was more.
No,
18,000. Wow, really,
I mean, it could have gone up a little bit in the
years.
That's
like a suburb in Melbourne.
Well, that's not even Wyndham in Western Melbourne. No, 13,000 of which live on the main island.
I think that's their new tourist campaign. Not even Wyndham.
Yes, not even Wyndham. Exactly. There's probably more South Islanders in Wyndham than there are in the whole of Cook Islands. So the main 13,000 of them live on the main island of Rarotonga, and the islands are strictly speaking self-governing. However, they've had a formal relationship with New Zealand since 1901. So that means not only is about 80% of the population ethnic Maori and speak Maori languages, all of the residents also have both New Zealand citizenship and Cook Island nationality, although that's not the reverse for New Zealanders. They can't claim Cook Island nationality.
They do also share a lot of, yeah. I know their judiciary helps out on things, and a lot of connection there. Homosexuality is illegal in the Cook Islands. It's interestingly not an enforced law, and of course this whole quirk of the old sodomy laws, female homosexual acts are legal.
Yes, and it's like a lot of the islands in the South Pacific, in this region, where it's mainly applied to men. And again, is a kind of a legacy hangover, of course, of Christian missionaries who came, fortunately Paul's not here to whip, but came with the British. It's been, that was enshrined in 1969 law, which they've attempted to now, Crimes Act 1969, which they've attempted now to amend.
Yes, yeah, so this is, they've been working on trying to decriminalise homosexuality there for, certainly actively working on it through committees and things for the past two, 3 years. It's not moving at a fast pace, let's say. There is one light point, which is that employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation has protections in place.
Yes. And however, prior to Christianity, much of this region, pretty much all the Pacific Islands, had very tolerant attitudes towards same-sex relations and particularly transgender people. So they all had their own word for it. The Cook Island word, which I won't pronounce because I haven't even got it written here, but means to dress as a woman, literally. And but they've long had a long tolerance of that culture, as we know through Southeast Asia. So similarly, so the anti sort of the attitudes essentially that we have today came largely with Christianity.
And there is quite a there is a movement brewing amongst a number of the islands in the Pacific. At the Pacific Islands Forum, they put forward a petition to push nations to create policies that would bring inclusive and equitable policies across the Pacific region. And there were a number of signatories to that statement.
Yes, and there's a big hope that New Zealand will play a role, because New Zealand, you know, being a sort of a guiding legal system, that there might be some influence. However, there are some very strong attitudes, particularly in Tonga, Solomon Islands, but also in Cook Islands.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
As we discussed last week, more than half of the Commonwealth member countries retain the colonial-era sodomy laws that criminalise homosexuality. Tonight we're profiling one of our close neighbours, the Cook Islands. Tatriana Eden-Lacroix is from Te Tiara Association, the only LGBTI organisation in the Cook Islands. We started by asking Tatriana to explain what their organisation does for LGBTI people in the Cook Islands.
Te Tiara launched itself in 2008, so it's been going for like 8 years now. And since its launch, it's been promoting mainly health awareness, like safe sex and awareness around HIV and AIDS for the LGBT communities. But recently, it took a step into trying to change some laws, particularly the decriminalization of homosexuality in the Cook Islands. As part of its campaign, it also ran a pageant, which is the first of its kind in like 10 years, to help promote and, you know, start normalizing the conversation between amongst the communities about LGBT issues and about how we were going to go about to decriminalize this law that's currently hovering against our community, I guess.
I'll come back to the law. Just paint us a bit of a picture of what life is like for an LGBT person in Cook Islands.
It's kind of crazy. Like, you know, it's not as, I guess, in a sense, it's not as shunned as some other people may describe in their own communities. Like, it's generally acceptable to be an LGBT person. Like myself, growing up, it's been safe, and I'm pretty comfortable, and I know that my friends are pretty comfortable. However, when issues of like maybe same-sex marriage and stuff start arising, that's when people start to have a little problem about being LGBT. In the Cook Islands, like in the homes, it's generally accepted and nobody really has a problem with it unless there is some awareness around it.
Does that mean you need to be discreet in your life?
Yes, I think so. So I think in your sexual life, you definitely have to be discreet, and that's a definitely an aspect of our lives that we do not show out, so we do not show public affection for one another because it's not generally acceptable. But we're accepted out in the communities when we're like helping out and creating events and stuff like that and designing costumes and all that stuff. But to be LGBTI in partnership with someone else and showing affection publicly, that's not generally acceptable, and you kind of have to keep it discreet.
Now, that's Tatiana from the Te Tiara Association in the Cook Islands. Coming up, we explore the importance of family and religion in this Pacific Island culture. You're listening to World Wide Wave.
Hi, my name is Robbie Watt. I'm from Kootjuk, Northern Quebec in Canada, and you're listening to the World Wide Wave.
And we love hearing your thoughts and views. And we have messages that come straight into the studio. So send us a thought, send us a challenge. If you hear something that you think we're not on the right path of, call us up. We'd love to chat about it. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS, or onair@joy.org.au is the email.
Now, the family structure plays a vital part in Cook Island society for support, for friendships, and for acceptance in daily life. Our guest from Cook Island's Te Tiara Association, Tatiana, explains how family connections can affect LGBTI people.
Well, family is really important if you're LGBT growing up in Cook Islands, because it's such a small community that if you don't have your family, you really don't have the support system, because if you step away from your family is bound to know the person that you're going to step away from, and could influence other people's views on you. So a lot of the time, we're trying to please our families and keep them happy. And it is your family who will kind of like give you that strong support system if you decide to come out, because being such a small community, you're easily targeted, I guess, if you don't have your family around. For me, it was really important that I had my family with me, coming out, my mom, my sisters, because then if my family accepted me and outside communities saw that, then they probably wouldn't have a problem with it. But if my family didn't accept me and then I went out and, you know, became who I wanted to be, the community would look at me and be like, oh, well, she's not really a good person because she left her family and is disobedient, rebellious, and all of that other stuff.
Sort of like social exclusion in the community.
Yes.
You said there it is a small community. Not only that, it's split across multiple islands. How do you build a sense of LGBT community when you've got a small population but also split across different islands?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure about Rarotonga. The main island is where everything happens. I know that out in the outer islands, there are like smaller communities and the visibility there is not as strong. But I do know that being LGBT in the smaller islands it's not okay, but there's not so much problems that community have against those individuals that live there. And but creating a voice that, you know, a collective voice is a little bit harder, because in some islands, they're comfortable with who they are and, you know, their daily lives, that they probably won't get on board and a change wagon, because in their community, in their island where they come from, they're okay, they're comfortable and they like it, they're safe.
You mentioned that Te Tiara Association is working on the decriminalisation of homosexuality, working in the advocacy space, I guess you'd call it. Tell us a bit about what you're doing and where that's up to.
The bill has actually been waiting to be read in Parliament. We have our Secretary Valentina Wichman, who is at the forefront of trying to push for this reading to happen. But at the moment, we haven't found a suitable candidate.
Is that like a suitable politician to raise it?
Yes, a suitable politician to raise it.
Do you have any allies in the parliament that are interested in LGBT issues?
Yes, we do. We have one of our patrons, Nandy Glassy, who is the Minister of Health in Parliament, and he, I guess at this point, is just wanting a little bit more information from us. She just wants maybe like a stronger case put forward from our organization, and that's what we're trying to work on at the moment. So it's there, and then so his advice back to us is that to bring forward a more convincing case for other members of parliament, because it is a touchy issue and there's a huge confusion between decriminalising and same-sex marriage within our communities and our political leaders. It's this inevitability that same-sex marriage will follow on from this decriminalisation, which isn't the case, and that's what we have to work on at the moment, and that's what I hope will happen as a result of the forum that I just attended, the Kaleidoscope one. So that's where things are at for the bill. It started like around 2 years ago, and there was some talk around it from the communities and from political members and individuals, but nothing major has happened yet apart from the raising awareness, the writing of the drafting of the bill and having it read and proposed through Parliament at this point.
Cook Islands has quite close relationships with New Zealand, and New Zealand has been quite progressive in LGBT rights and have now voted through same-sex marriage. Does that have any influence on Cook Islands, either positive or negative?
I think it's in regards to the same-sex marriage bill for New Zealand, it definitely had a negative feedback from community because of the strong religious standing that the Cook Islands upholds itself on. So I think that's why there's this huge confusion when we first proposed to decriminalise, because people, communities, whoever, were like, oh no, we don't accept same-sex marriage. However, that's not the case. And speaking of New Zealand's involvement and its obligation to like help the smaller islands, particularly the Cook Islands, because you know we're such a small organisation and it's such a small country, I guess we haven't received any huge support from New Zealand yet?
That was Tatriana from the Tiara Association on the advocacy efforts to decriminalise homosexuality in the Cook Islands.
I struggle in my mind getting my head around, like Tatriana was, when I sort of asked, you know, how they build a community across this such a sparse space. And she said, I don't know. But I love the fact that she said that in some of the smaller island communities, there's actually less problems for LGBT people than on the major island. That's normally it's kind of the other way around.
Is that maybe because, again, with the church playing such a pivotal role, that on the smaller islands maybe it's more just about close-knit family groups, and on the bigger islands there's more opportunity for these global organisations like the church to have a bigger grip on people's attitudes? I don't know. I'm just posing.
And maybe also, you know, in a smaller community, you're more likely to be recognised as the individual rather than in a big community where you're less...
The personal connection of, that's...
You can't ostracise someone when you live on an island the size of this building, you know? So...
And the family component, and family often comes up in a lot of the countries we visit, the importance of the family structure and acceptance by the family. Interestingly, Tatriana, I thought, was saying that because if the family accepts you, if your family accepts you, then it's more likely that the other people in the community will accept you as well. So it's not just that, you know, last line of protection. It is, you know, you're getting an endorsement from your family.
And cultural, I mean, familial pride, no doubt, will play a big role there. So if you, you know, if you accept your son or daughter for whatever it is, obviously it's an affront to the family's status and pride if another family criticises that son or daughter. So it's that kind of owning the family culture.
The law side of things, so I mean, I think it's great that this organisation is working on advocacy, and we've got a bit more of that coming up from Tatriana. It's not a fast process.
No, and I think it's really interesting, again, that there's a confusion between decriminalisation of homosexuality and legalising same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And in a lot of countries where we've gone through this process...
That's the way the churches want it to be, too.
Yes, absolutely. So that's the church emphasising and all the thing that's wrong with same-sex marriage, and then that's why we shouldn't decriminalise.
And that was part of the ally that they have in the parliament, the health minister, sort of saying you've really got to have a compelling case. You've got to have answers to everything they're going to throw at you to try and get this over the line. So
yes, because they try to use essentially what you're hinting at, Stefan, is this as what I'd call the chain reaction theory, that once you decriminalise, then it leads to same-sex marriages, you know, and they try to use that moral argument, and we'll all end up as, you know, the children will be the next children indoctrinated into our cult.
That's the slippery slope argument.
Never marrying dogs.
Marrying dogs, that'll be next. Yeah.
There is also that thing about the big country, little country thing too. I think I'm you know, in a lot of things the Pacific Islands don't like Australia, you know, what they see as stepping in on their government, their culture, their they don't like Australia coming in and, you know, getting too involved. So perhaps that plays a part as well.
Yeah, I'm sure New Zealand, I'm sure there's defensiveness towards New Zealand's role there.
Oh, come on, everyone loves New Zealand.
Well, you
know, they've got Jacinta.
Every every small country has a bigger neighbour that they resent, New Zealand towards Australia. And I'm sure Cook Islands have their resentments towards New Zealand. To them, New Zealand's a big brother.
Well, I'm sure the temptation for so many LGBTI people in somewhere like the Cook Islands is to go to New Zealand. They can go and live and work there.
Yes.
And maybe they don't actually, maybe they live two different lives. They may come back to the family and not be out to the family and go back home, go to New Zealand and be out there. And
I'm sure without a doubt, in Auckland and the big cities in New Zealand, there must be a disproportionate number of LGBTI islanders who've come to New Zealand to seek refuge, so to speak.
It does sort of it sort of highlights, well, how does Australia help in these environments? So I think we can't sort of go out and brag that we've now got same-sex marriage. That's not going to help at all. We're going to learn a bit more about what Kaleidoscope has done, but really educating the locals, giving them some skills that they can take forward to advocate to make change. But yes, interesting that our success can become their detriment in terms of LGBT rights. Tonight we are in the Cook Islands and this is World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Max from Amnesty International speaking from Ukraine on the World Wide Wave.
Ice will melt, water will boil, you and I can shake off its mortal coil. It's bigger than you feel lucky when you know where you are. You know it's gonna come true. Here in your arms, I remember. It's only natural that I should want to be there with you. It's only natural that you should feel the same way too. Man in a cage has made his confession now. You see me at my worst, and it won't be the last time I'm down there. I want you to know I feel completely at peace. Read me like a book that's falling down between your knees. Please let me have my way with you.
Try. You're listening to It's Only Natural by Crowded House.
Where our diverse communities can come together. Joy.
Yes, on Joy 949.
Everybody wants to be here, clearly.
That's quite right. So that was Crowded House with It's Only Natural.
Are we saying Australian band or Kiwi band? Doesn't matter.
Well, I think I've...
Depends on the day and the occasion.
I've decided it was New Zealand tonight.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, whatever. A message has come in on email on air at joy.org.au. Thanks, Richard. Richard from Adelaide is listening in. Interstate listeners, really interesting interview. Thank you, Richard. Lovely hearing from you. Hey, I think there's some people out there listening who would actually be really interested in being a part of this great Joy family. And there's some Joy radio training courses coming up. So they've just released these new dates. The last one's all booked out. So there's three new dates. Now, we've all done this course.
Yes,
we have indeed.
Believe it or not, yes.
And enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's really quite comprehensive. It covers everything from on-air presentation, interview techniques, the actual button pushing that Stefan is looking after tonight for us. The law.
Yes, don't defame anyone on air.
Right, I'll remember that. Editing, all those sorts of things. So it's really comprehensive. The courses are starting Tuesday nights from May 14, Thursday nights from June 13, and Tuesdays again in July. So you need to be a Joy member to be a part of it. And why wouldn't you be a Joy member, really? Well, everybody should be a Joy member.
You get a concession if you're a Joy member.
Well, you get lots of things if you're a Joy member, including these fantastic shows right 24/7 here on Joy. So joy.org.au is where you go to. You can register your interest and become a part of the Joy family.
And if you're not a member, do it now.
On the World Wide Web last week, we had Professor Paula Gerber from Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, and she mentioned some of the work they're doing to help LGBTI groups in the Pacific region. This included a youth forum on advocating to politicians for change. And an attendee of this conference, Tatriana from the Tiara Association, explains how much of a difference the event made to their efforts.
Actually, the forum was really amazing. I really enjoyed it. For me, all I wanted to get out of the forum is anything that was related or that I could relate in a Pacific context, because our organization was quite small. And when I was sitting in the conference and listening to all these other things, there was a lot of organizations that I've heard stories from have grown so vastly that I'm just like, oh, wow, we're kind of at the... not infant stages, but we're kind of at the young stages of our organization. And we haven't really made like any huge impact on LGBT changes in our community. So sitting in the conference, it was very important for me to listen to the stories from other Pacific nations. And also, it was really important that I knew how our country could benefit from the assistance that was available, like the Global Fund. I definitely drew on some experiences from Samoa, because they recently just decriminalized the homosexual laws in their country. Also from Fiji, because they have so many organizations. And then there's, of course, Australia with their vast experiences and expertise and skills and, you know, qualities. Networking was really important. And I think coming out of the conference, I did, you know, make some connections and stuff that I know that would definitely benefit. And particularly there's some funding available, which we could help with the desensitizing workshops that we need to run in our communities while we're going through the process of decriminalizing in our country.
Did you leave with a good dose of inspiration to take this challenge forward in Cook Islands?
Oh my gosh, I did. I absolutely did. While I was sitting in one of the conferences, I had a moment and I emailed our secretary. So our secretary for our organization just received a Queen's Youth Award for her work around pushing for decriminalizing. She just received it this year. So I was inspired by her, and then I emailed her and I said to her, I was like, look, you know, I'm sitting in this conference and it's just, there's so much information, valuable information, that I'm just like, I'm awed. And so I sent her an email and I was like, look, I'm powered up right now and I just want to like get these wheels in motion, because I feel like I'm in the right place and I'm around the right people who I think that can help us make these positive changes. I do feel that the conference has definitely motivated and inspired, because like everyone in the conference is so positive and it's just really good to be around them.
Fantastic. We look forward to some good news out of the Cook Islands in the near future.
Thank you so much.
Tatiana from Te Tiare Association in Cook Islands, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Oh, thank you so much.
I tell you, the one thing you can't teach at these sorts of conferences or workshops or forums is that level of inspiration, that level of excitement where Tatiana has gone to this event, and you can hear it in her voice. She's itching to get going, bouncing off the walls. Very, very exciting. The other thing I really liked there too was that the importance of hearing from other Pacific nations about what they're doing and how what their approach is. So it's that whole thing about, yeah, it's a bit different in Australia, but if Fiji's done it, well, what did you do? How did you do it? How can we make use of it in our country?
Yeah, supportive peers, developing leadership skills, in whatever the advocacy campaigning issue is, this is what makes a difference.
It's sort of like same-sex marriage in Asia. Everybody's waiting for the first Asian country to take that step, whether it's Taiwan or Thailand or Vietnam. They're all sort of hinting or progressing in that way. And then the other Asian countries will sort of then look at it and figure out how they can do it as well. So I think there's some exciting times ahead in Cook Islands. I get the feeling that it's not going to be overnight. Won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Good news.
Indeed. And we'll keep an eye on what's happening there. You're on Worldwide Wave.
This is David Wadali from the Ubuntu Foundation, Malawi, Southern Africa, on the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Now, one of the benefits of being the longest-running LGBT international news and current affairs show in the world is that we have a tremendous back catalogue of shows and stories and issues and inspiring people.
Indeed.
From around the rainbow world. And you can find all those on our podcasts.
And where would you find our podcast, Matt?
Well, lots of ways. joy.org.au/worldwidewave is your download section. But you can find us on Spotify now. So if you are on Spotify, you can follow us.
We're on Spotify.
On Spotify.
Wow.
As well as all your other favourite podcasting platforms. Mm-hmm. And you can go through and find, we've covered over 150 countries now out of, there's about 190-odd countries in the world.
193.
Is the latest. So we've still got a few more to go, and we're not going to stop until we've got them all. But that's lots and lots of stories and inspiring people like Tatiana that we had tonight on the show. So,
and I believe the Brunei story of 2 weeks ago is, it's garnered a lot
been
of
going like hotcakes, yes, so to speak.
So
and an inspiring story from inside Brunei where they're having lots of difficulties. So very brave gent coming forward to tell his story. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Tatiana Eden-Lacroix from Te Tiare Association in the Cook Islands. And you can find out more about them either on Facebook or tetiareassociation.com.
Now, we've had a bunch of people on Facebook who've been interacting with us in the last few days. We've had Roy, Gary, Alicia, Yaz, Peter, and a heap more who've joined in the last week. That's W3Joy on Facebook, so check that out and like that page.
And behind the scenes, our podcaster Alex and our social media master Dean.
Doing a great job each and every week. Now, stay tuned. Geeks Out, our new Neighbours, is coming up next with Miranda, doing all the techie stuff, gadgets, sci-fi, horror, comics, anything else that gets your geek motor running, all with an LGBTI perspective. And then following that, Triple Bypass at 9, Homophonics with Jordan at 10. Look, just leave your radio on, Joy. We'll catch you next week at Worldwide Wave.
Trying hard not to fall. On the way home, you were trying to wear me down, down. Kissing up old fences and up old walls. On the way home, I guess it's all working out, now. 'Cause there's still too long to the weekend, too long till I drown in your hands. Too long since I've been a fool. Leave this blue neighborhood. Never knew loving could hurt this good. Oh, trust me, why? 'Cause when you look like that, I've never ever wanted to be so bad. Oh, trust me, why?
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.